Good evening. We appreciate you listening every Sunday night to Bible Crossfire at this time on these stations. Last week we quoted Matthew 19:9, where Jesus said, "Whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away, doth commit adultery." Somebody had called in about divorce and remarriage, and we responded with that verse. We pointed out that divorcing for any reason other than fornication and remarrying led to an adulterous marriage. Then we illustrated what should be done if one finds himself in such an unscriptural marriage with Mark 6:17-18. Here's how that verse reads. "For Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. For John had said unto Herod, It is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife." So when a couple got into an unscriptural marriage, John said it's not lawful for you to have her, to the husband. If it's not lawful for him to have her, that means he needs to get out of that marriage. So if you divorce your spouse for any reason other than fornication, remarry, you're in adultery. The second marriage is an adulterous marriage, and if you don't want to do what's right, you have to get out of that marriage. It's not lawful for you to have her, in the words of John in Mark 6:18. We then had a caller with a good question. Can a sinner stay in such a marriage when he is converted to Christ? Here's a marriage that's not, the two people are not Christians. They're in violation of Matthew 19:9 in their marriage. They're going to become converted to Christ. Can they stay in that marriage? That's a good question, and we're going to try to answer that tonight in between our calls. First, I want to talk about some spiritual facts that should help us answer that question. But before we do that, let's take a call. Mike from Alabama, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yes, sir, Patrick. I'm the same one that called last Sunday night. But my question is, what if an individual, before he's born again, what if he was into multiple marriages and had multiple families? What would you advise him to do?
Yeah, so I guess you may be the caller from last week. Were you listening to the program just now while you're waiting to get on the line?
Yes, I am the caller.
Yeah, so I started off the program tonight by saying I'm going to answer that question in more detail. Here's a couple, they're not Christians yet. They're in a marriage that is unscriptural, as defined by passages like Matthew 19:9, and now they're converted to Christ. Can they stay in such a marriage? That was your question, right?
Well, actually, my question was, before you're born again and you divorce, and then you get born again and marry for the second time, what is your advice for that situation? And, of course, my question tonight, what if you've had multiple marriages, multiple families? Mm-hmm. What would you advise?
Well, I've got some points I want to make about this, Mike. Let me read to you a passage in Romans 7:2-3 to help lead to us talking about what the advice should be. It says, "For the woman which hath an husband is bound," and that word simply means obligated, "bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loose from the law of her husband. So then if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man." Now, looking at a passage like Genesis 2:24, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh," that was said, Mike, before Christianity ever started. So here we have a woman who's married to a man. Let's say they're not born again yet, they're not Christians, but they get married. Is that wife bound to her husband as long as he lives, according to Romans 7:2-3? Well, she would be. She would be. This passage says it has nothing to do with whether or not a person is a Christian or not. It has to do with whether or not they get married or not. If they get married, let's assume for a moment it's both the young man and the young wife's first marriage. It says the wife is bound to her husband as long as he lives. So suppose later he divorces her, not for a reason other than fornication, She remarries, let's say. Well, this passage says she's bound to her husband as long as he lives. It doesn't say that if he, that if she becomes a Christian, that she's no longer bound to her husband anymore, no longer obligated to her husband anymore. As a matter of fact, when two people are married and they get become Christians, they should feel even more obligation toward each other, not less obligation. So the wife is Mike still bound to that original husband for as long as he lives. And if she's in her second, third, fourth marriage, it wouldn't make any difference that she became a Christian, because when she becomes a Christian, she's supposed to repent of her sin. And so she needs to come out of that marriage and try to seek reconciliation with her original husband. Does that answer your question, Mike?
No, it hadn't thoroughly. So if she is on the second, third, or fourth marriage, should you divorce that one and go back to your original spouse?
Yes. Oh, most certainly, yes. That's what Romans 7, 2, and 3 would say, because she's bound to that original. Bound simply means obligated. She's bound to that original husband as long as he lives. So she is bound to go back and try to get back with him. She has to get out of these adulterous marriages if she wants to be right with God.
So you're saying once you divorce, and then say if you're married, let's just say three more times. So you should divorce the three more times. So now you've got four divorces. You're saying that you're advising an individual to do that.
Well, yeah. If say she marries for the fourth time, that means those other marriages, she's already divorced out of those. So she's going to have to divorce that fourth husband and seek reconciliation with the first husband. It's not what I say. This is what the Bible says. Remember, we read Mark 6, 17 and 18 when this program started. That's exactly what happened with Herod and Herodias. Herod divorced his wife unscripturally. Herodias had divorced her husband unscripturally. Herod and Herodias are married. And Mark, John the Baptist, told him to Herod, it's not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. Now, if John told Herod it's not lawful for thee to have her, what do you think, and John was representing God in this, what do you think God was expecting Herod to do, Mike?
I understand exactly what you're saying about John, but one more question, and I know you got a lot of people. One more question. In your opinion, will that keep you out of heaven?
Let me read for you Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. Revelation 21, verse 8 says, "But the fearful and unbelieving, the abominable and murderers, and sexually immoral, and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." So, of course, if a person is sexually immoral, if he's in fornication or in adultery or in homosexuality, and he refuses to repent, he stays in that second marriage, that adulterous marriage, and he refuses to get out of that marriage, then this verse says he will have his part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. These verses are very clear that people need to repent of their sins, including adulterous marriage. These second and third marriages that a lot of people are in these days, they have to repent of that if they want to go to heaven. Kelly from Alabama, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yes, I had a question. I know it's a topic you seem like you can't get away from now, but this is a sincere question, and unfortunately in our today's society, we have marriages that are recognized by man's law, but they don't line up with God's law, talking about same-sex marriages.
Yeah.
And I hate to just throw this as a hypothetical with you, and say a person enters into that type of marriage that's recognized by the law, and they get delivered from homosexuality, and they turn away, and then they get divorced under man's law, and they find a opposite sex godly marriage partner. My thinking is that since that marriage wasn't recognized by God, that would free them to enter into a godly type of marriage. I'll hang up and get your comment.
All right, thank you, Kelly. Yeah, Kelly's exactly right. Say two men that have never been married, they marry each other, a gay marriage, And Kelly's saying, well, they find they get out of that. They're repenting because God wants them to get out of that homosexual marriage. So they get out of that marriage. They divorce out of that marriage. Can they then contract a marriage with a person of the opposite sex scripturally? And the Bible is yeah, the answer is yes. We read Romans 7, 2 and 3. The woman is bound to her husband as long as he lives. When those two gay people got married, they were never bound to each other. They were never obligated to each other by God. I mean, yeah, the law of the land, whatever state they were in, might have allowed it, but God didn't approve of it. They were not bound, obligated to each other by God. And so there'd be no problem with them after they repent and get out of that marriage with contracting a first scriptural marriage with a person of the opposite sex. And so the Bible is clear on these matters that divorce, except for fornication, is unscriptural. And if you find yourself in an unscriptural marriage, adulterous marriage, you have to get out of that marriage in order to be right with God. Jeff from Texas, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Sure. I was listening a little while ago. You're talking to this gentleman about divorce, and that if the lady or husband doesn't get out of a divorce, that they're immoral and they're not going to go to heaven if they're saved.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. My next question is to you is, what sins on the cross did Christ die for?
Every single one of them. But you know, you don't get forgiven of those sins unless you're willing to repent of them.
Right? I mean, so you're preaching that you can lose your salvation?
Oh yeah, of course. You know, this idea that a person can't fall from grace. Galatians 5:4 said, people that are trying to be justified by the law, the old law, it says, ye are fallen from grace. So yes, people can fall from grace. About it. The Bible says that probably at least 100 times, if not more, that a Christian can fall from grace.
I think you're wrong, and the reason is because you're adopted into the family of God, and that adoption is stronger than a regular birth. And there's times that when my son does something wrong, and I'm really upset with him, and we're out of fellowship. We're out of fellowship, and it's how we get that straight. And his life is not very pleasant until he comes and asks for forgiveness and gets his life straight. But that doesn't mean that he's not my son, and he'll never never could do anything to get out of being my son. And so there is lots of scripture in there talking about the rewards that you can earn. And I think that people that are out of fellowship or committing sins, because we're going to sin every day. I mean, even as after you get saved, you still have that old nature. I think you're going to lose rewards that you could have earned. But the Bible says that that He holds you in His hand, and no man can pluck Him out.
All right, and Jeff, thanks for your call. Thank you, Jeff, for your call. Let me respond to a couple of things that you said. You know, Jeff is right that you don't quit being somebody's son just because you get out of favor with them. But many times, dads, parents, disfellowship their son. They disinherit them. So it's true when a son rebels against their parents, he's still going to be their son. But they can disinherit him, and that's what God does. When a person who's a Christian rebels against God, they're still going to be God's son, but God disinherits them. They lose their salvation. The caller asked, well, you know, what sins would cause a person to be lost? Well, Galatians 5:19 says adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. These are the sexual sins, like adulterous marriage that we've been talking about. It names a bunch of sins. Then it says in verse 21, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So people in these second marriages, second, third marriages, these adulterous marriages, they don't repent. It says they're guilty of adultery. It says they will not inherit the kingdom of God. This last caller thought that once you're saved, you're always saved. But last week, we read James 5:19 and 20. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. So here's a brother in Christ who errs from the truth. Our job is to try to convert him back. If we convert him back, we save his soul from death. Suppose we're not able to convert him back. Suppose he refuses. It's not that just he loses rewards. It says his soul dies. He loses his salvation. He's lost. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12, another passage I believe we read last week on in this connection, is talking about holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, verse 1, can only be talking about a Christian. It says, take ye, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. So a Christian can develop an evil heart of unbelief. He doesn't become a robot. He can depart from the living God. He loses his salvation. According to this passage, James 5, 19 and 20, Galatians chapter 5, verse 4, I think I can find a verse on just about every page of your Bible that proves conclusively that once saved, always saved is false. Debbie from North Dakota, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please. Going to have to turn off your radio, or you're going to, so you can under, you get on the air with me. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I just
no
had
problem,
a question.
Debbie.
I had a question that, okay, so you're married to an alcoholic, and you're supposed to stay in that relationship when you're abused. And then if you divorce that somebody that's alcoholic and you remarry, then you're still, what did you call her?
An adulteress?
Yes.
Yeah, whoever, here's what Jesus said. Whoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, commit adultery. And whoso marrieth her, which is put away, doth commit adultery. So the answer is yes.
I understand that. But I don't think the Lord would want you to stay in an abusive relationship for and be abused, because I believe that's not what God would want you to do either.
Suppose that you got out of this abusive...
I don't think God would say, okay, yeah, you're going to stay in that relationship and be abused for 30 years or whatever, and then, no, I don't think God would want you to do that.
How do you know what God wants unless we read it from the Bible? Isn't that the only way to know what God wants is by reading it from the Bible?
And when he speaks to you.
Well, he doesn't speak to anybody except through his word, the Bible. And the Bible never says that a woman who didn't divorce her husband for fornication has the right to divorce her husband and remarry. He says if you divorce your spouse for any reason other than fornication and remarry, you commit adultery. That's what Jesus says in Matthew 19:9. Now, either we can, if we're going to make Jesus Lord, if we're going to call Jesus Lord, we better make him Lord. Making him Lord means believing and submitting to what he says. And he says if you put away your spouse for any reason other than fornication and you remarry, you commit adultery. And he says if you are put away, if your spouse puts you away, and that would be for any reason, and you remarry, you commit adultery. And the reason is because of what we read in Romans 7, 2 and 3, the wife and the husband are bound to their spouse as long as they live, obligated to them. If you get a divorce that you're not for, that's not for fornication, that doesn't change the fact that you're still bound and obligated to that original spouse. So if you remarry, you're committing adultery. Betty from Pennsylvania, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Hi, I'm very confused about why you feel that a person who has married a second or third time should again divorce and go back to that original spouse.
Well, Betty, let me ask you this question. When John told Herod, remember, Herod had divorced his spouse. Herodias had divorced her spouse, unscripturally. Herod then married Herodias, so they're in their second marriage. And John the Baptist told Herod, it's not lawful for you to have her. What do you think John expected Herod to do when he told her it's not lawful for you to have her?
I firmly believe that the blood of Christ shed on the cross covered us from any sin, as long as we repent.
Right.
As long as I go directly to Christ and I say, you know, please forgive me, Lord, I've done this, I've committed adultery, I married a second time, please forgive me for this and the hurts that I've caused other people, I believe that his blood is sufficient.
Okay, I believe his blood is sufficient also, but you're saying you go to God and tell him you're sorry, but you're planning on staying in that second marriage?
Absolutely, I'm not going to.
Okay, so what you're sorry? So what you're doing, Betty? You're reporting. You're not repenting. You're reporting to God that you sinned, but you're not repenting. Repenting of adultery means you quit committing the adultery. Now let me ask you the question again, Betty. I say this respectfully in love. When John told Herod in Mark 6, verse 18, it is not lawful for thee to have her. What do you believe John was expecting Herod to do if he wanted to be right with God? He said, it's not lawful for you to have her. Wasn't he expecting, wasn't John, a spokesman for God, expecting Herod to get out of that marriage when he said it's not lawful for you to have her?
Well, he may have been. But what about the tragedy that you're going to cause, the heartache, the pain that you're going to cause that second spouse? And the first spouse is remarried to someone else, and you go back and you say, okay, you know what, you're just going to have to get divorced, and I got to get back together with man number one.
I'm gonna give you a kind of an extreme and silly illustration. Two men are married to each other, a gay marriage. Of course, obviously, it's totally against God's law. They adopt. Let's say they adopt two or three kids. Now a preacher comes along and tells them that they got to get out of that marriage because it's not a scriptural marriage; it's a homosexual marriage. Don't you agree, Betty? They need to get out of that marriage. If they do,
yes,
they're going to cause a lot of heartache. They're going to cause a lot of heartache because they got two or three kids they've adopted. But it doesn't matter.
Correct. But that doesn't mean they have to give up those children.
Of course not. But they got to get out of that marriage. They can't continue to stay in that marriage, continue to commit these homosexual acts. And likewise, a man and a woman who have no right to each other in their second marriage, they cannot continue to commit these adulterous acts. They got repentance. It's not reporting. It's repentance. When you repent, you stop the sin. And so you're in an adulterous marriage. You stop the adultery. You get out of that marriage. So we're back to the caller. The question that Mike asked about, perhaps Mike could see this would apply to Christians, but he's saying, but what about people who aren't Christians? Well, let's ask ourselves this question. When two people who are not Christians, just young people, never become Christians yet, and they get married... Are they married? I'm talking about people that have never been married before. Are they married or are they just living in sin? Two young people, they're not Christians, they get married. Are they married or just living in sin? Well, Hebrews 13:4 says, marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled. But the sexually immoral and adulterers God will judge. So marriage is honorable in all, not just in Christians. So two young people who get married who are not Christians, marriage is honorable in all, they're married. They're bound to each other, obligated to one another, in the words of Romans 7:2-3. So in the words of Romans 7:2-3, if one of them gets out of that marriage, they divorce their spouse for a reason other than fornication, remarry, they're going to be called an adulteress. And if you repent of adultery, you got to get out of adultery. If you say, I repent of adultery, but you stay in the adulterous marriage, again, that means you're reporting, not repenting. Matthew 19:9, where Jesus made this law, it's not the only verse, I'm just saying, where Jesus said this law, he said, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another committeth adultery. He didn't just say Christians who put away their wife do this, whosoever. That's talking about Christians, non-Christians, whoever puts away their scriptural wife for any reason other than fornication and marry another, they're committing adultery with that second spouse. Matthew 19:9 says that plainly. And if you're going to repent of adultery, you're going to have to get out of adultery. You can't quit committing adultery. When people become Christians, their human relationships don't change. For example, in Ephesians 6:1-5, children, after they become Christians, were still to obey their parents. Fathers were still to bring up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants were still to be obedient to their masters. So becoming a Christian, getting born again, doesn't change our human relationships. When a man and wife are scripturally married, and then they become Christians, that doesn't mean they're not married. That doesn't mean that their relationships change. They're still married. Again, one of the main things we need to remember is Acts 2.38. This tells a person, a believer, how to become a Christian. Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So when a person becomes a Christian, he's got to repent of his sins, or else he doesn't become a Christian. So if he's in a gay marriage, he's going to have to get out of that marriage when he becomes a Christian. Else he didn't repent. He doesn't become a Christian. If he's in an adulterous marriage, a second or third marriage, he's going to have to repent of that adultery to become a Christian. If he doesn't repent, he doesn't really become a Christian. We can talk more about this next week, during the week, email me, BibleCrossfire@email.com. BibleCrossfire@email.com.